Like there's a better hill, you know of a better hole, go to it.
This is Barnes' father?
Barnes' father, Bain's father, Bain's father.
That's you mentioned the last time.
That's him, that's the guy. He that was his, like this time they got that American magazine the boys put out, they got some goddamn guy, probably the same thing, you know. They said,
you mean, oh God, what was his name? It was Second World War. I know the one you mean, Bill Maud?
That's right, Bill.
Maudlin.
That's it?
Maudlin.
Yeah, that
Maudlin.
You got it somewhere around there.
Yeah.
He brought this fellow.
It was about two privates in the mud, I think.
That's right. Bill and Herbie was our one.
Yeah.
Bill and Herbie, yeah. Two First World. Oh, there's someone pretty goddamn good, you know. Yeah.
You said you were at Courcelette during the Somme.
Courcelette, that's on the Somme, yeah.
You were wounded on the Somme, weren't you?
Yeah, I did. I forget about that being wounded. Yeah. I was going to the town one day. We're marching through, you know, we were going up the line.
Marching through Courcelette?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is where I missed it. You see, luck. Luck can play a hell of a part of you about you missing me. Now,
here.
I'm a sole survivor of 7 platoon. Mm-hmm. It was in there in Ypres. Yes, I'm a sole survivor. Oh, no, Chuck Walker, he's dead now, but I'm the only guy left out of it. The war went, Paul got it. But under that cathedral in Albert, mm-hmm. with this Virgin Mary, she'd be up there with a baby in her arms. She got hit below her eyes mm-hmm. with a shell, and the thing just bent over. And here she was holding this baby down here, and you were down here
mm-hmm.
underneath the shell holding that baby. The French used to say the war's going to end when she drops that baby.
Mm-hmm.
I was right underneath her when a bloody shell came over. And it went right in the road. And the roads there, you know, they're all solid rock.
Mm-hmm.
The
bedrock, I think. Yeah.
No, it's about that big.
Cobblestone.
Well, that's yeah, but
that type of cobblestone.
Yeah, that lasts forever. You know. But that's in the town, in the village, mm-hmm. that way. Out in the country, they used to be just bloody mud and all crazy. Anyway, this shell hit this beast, you know, all sparks and everything, you know. It just bust the shell, just burst in there, all the hard stuff that you can get, you know, like rocks. And I got this right through this bloody ankle.
Was it a flesh wound or was it bad?
No, it went about, just in there, just up the bone, I think. Bone, just. I never got up here or anything.
So it didn't break anything?
No, just bug it up and some meat there. I got a little fellow's right here. Ooh. See the goddamn thing. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I see it there. Were you in hospital long with that?
No. Never missed a trip in my life.
Really? They sent you right back up.
Oh, yes, yes. I got a hot cover on one leg, you know. The police sent you hit, but yeah. I was shaking. It ain't bleeding yet, huh? I was going to go in there. Oh, Christ, he said, get the hell out. You get the hell out. So he chased me out. And I went over to the artillery dugout. There was a doctor there. And he stuck a bandage on it. And the outfit went up the line. This was when my outfit got butchered.
This was at...
Corslet.
Yes, that Corslet trench, that's right.
Yes, 9th of October, isn't it? Did you get that?
Yeah, 8th, 9th of October.
8th, 9th, yes. He said, get the hell out of here, you go out of here, and I'll get dressed up. And I went back to Conte, it's a small village back of Albert, where there was the next dressing station was. And I stayed there for 3 days, you know. 3 days, yeah. And then, so I just pulled the band up. Oh, you'll be all right. Back you up. I went out to get some grub, you know, on the rations. Holding the house down there with a Dixie waiting for me. And I got a hell of a kick in the ass. Little Grand Hill Jack Walker. Him and I were the only two alive out of that fucking platoon, that scrap right there. The only two had come out of that trench at the time. They were the bastards. So.
What was the reason for that slaughter? Why was it so bad?
It's the goddamn officers are so dumb. That Haig had no business in there. You know, he never even knew Pasadena was like it was.
Mm-hmm.
A month after, when he was driving through his limousine. Bloody mad. He should have been in there when the whole war was on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of guy there. You know, and I used to get leave every 3 months. 3 months, I think, was a little bit of the leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
3 months, maybe. And I had to go 18 bloody months. Jesus. Yeah, that's why I'm mad at them.
You're mad at the officers.
Oh,
well, about this, the 8th and 9th of October, from what I've read, there was some screw-up with the artillery, and they were supposed to punch a hole through the wire so
no,
you guys could attack.
Tell you what happened. The scouts and fellows had been out the night before. Supposed to have been out the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And
doing some reconnaissance out of the wire.
That's right. Put in a report about what was what. And they reported this bloody wire, no wire there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a little ravine, going about, you know, about this wire. You went down like that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, Christ, when we were over there, it was all wire. Christ, nothing but bloody wire, full of the wire.
But the officers didn't say, let's not attack, you better not.
No, go right ahead, boys, go right ahead. I'll see you when you get back.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's right, yeah. Because I had it pulled on me.
But the wire was there and you got...
Oh, yeah, the wire was there. And the 50 Marines was in there too. There was a battle on, trouble on with their naval forces,
mm-hmm,
in Kiel.
There was a mutiny going on.
Kiel, there was a mutiny on there. So they got this bloody bunch of Marines and they sent them up there for punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? That was their punishment.
The idea was to kill them off in the line.
Yeah, but they were a bunch of good fellas. They were a bunch of good guys.
Were they good fighters?
Oh, yes. Something like our Marines, our Marines pretty good. Well, not ours.
The Royal Marines.
The Imperial Marines. They're pretty good, you know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about Corselet Trench and the attack on it.
Oh. What do you want to know about it?
Well, tell me about what it was like for you to go into it. You said you were only two survivors from your platoon of it.
Yeah. Well, Jack Walker and I.
Yeah.
Jack was a sergeant. Patton was our officer. He never went up the line with. We don't know what.
He just sent you over and that was it.
He was left out. I told him afterwards. We come off. Come up with Jock. Oh, I'm glad to see you back. Where's the platoon? Old Jock pointed at me. What do you mean? That's the only one that bastard becomes the most useless bugger in the battalion. The most useless bugger we got, and there he is. And this old Patton, he blew his cock. He got a job in the pay office in London.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got my holiday, about a year after that, I went and I told you about getting the money. He was so glad to see him.
Yeah.
Jimmy hates nothing, he said. That was the mess we was in. There was 63 of us, I think. And, no, 66.
Survived from the battalion?
Out of the old bloody battalion. Three officers, I think, come out there. Yeah.
Did you make it into the trench itself? Because from what I've read, a few made it into the trench, but most were cut down in the process.
We were cut right down, and there was nobody ever made it in that bloody trench. You couldn't because of goddamn wire was that way.
Mm-hmm. How far did you get to the wire, and that was it?
About halfway. This is what they are. I met a hiding stretcher bearer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they quit shooting, when it was so bad, we quit fighting. They had Jerry's and all quit. And they come out of their trench. I met a stretcher bearer. Spoke good English. That's one thing. These Marines, I guess it better come from their war service, their service, they'd be around the world.
Mm-hmm.
They spoke with English. Most of them spoke with English. Like they would shoot. You know, come on, Scotty. Bang, you know. And they were all good friends. And we were pulling their money out, pulling them out. And this big stretcher bear, he come to me. He gave me a drink of snaps out of his bottle. And I said, you want to took prisoner? No, and I back up for him, you know. No, by Christ, you don't expect. No. He said, no. He said, next time you you keep going, eh? Keep going. So I said, okay, Jack. If he was to do this, they'll forget it in a minute. And there'll be no friendly. You know, I say, Jack, how you doing? You know, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn good man.
Mm-hmm. Hell, they were just the same as you in the same situation as you guys.
They were the same. Now, if you took the bloody uniform and put one of our uniforms on it, you couldn't tell the bloody difference.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't tell. There you go. And the piper was still bloody well playing, thumbing his tune up and down the trunk. That's one thing. Richardson.
Was he killed, or was he? He survived?
He was killed. He went missing, really. Never found him at all. He must have got a direct hit or fell in the mud or some damn thing.
Never found him.
Yeah.
How long did the attack last?
The attack?
Yeah, of course, about 10.
About 20 minutes.
That was it.
So you goddamn, oh no, Christ. They slaughtered you every time. Because you couldn't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Was it just one wave of attackers, or was there a number of waves?
I know. The 43rd, I think, there was just one wave.
Mm-hmm. And
I never seen anybody behind me.
Mm-hmm. The Germans have a number of well-placed machine guns behind the wire.
Oh, just mow you down. I put it under the side of my bloody head here.
Just a grave?
Well, a tin hat, you know.
Oh,
but they took my head off. You know, the hat on. Shoot, you know.
That's luck again, isn't it?
That's it. It's just luck. It's... What do you get?
Yeah. What happened after Korselect? There was very few of you left for the battalion.
That was the last time.
That was it for the song.
One enough of it, though. That band, you know him, the band?
Which one?
The 3rd Division band?
No,
Old Captain Plunkett?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Well, it's been exciting. They, one of the volunteers go on this band. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're going to put out a show pretty good, you know, so get this. And we was all sitting there watching all these silly babies get up there and try it too, you know. My chum, he was a damn good singer too.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting on the side and he was in the front row. He said, I got a good money here. Well, I said, all right, good. Got him up there. And I was laughing so goddamn much he couldn't see it. No, he couldn't see it. No, looking at me. Jesus. Oh, Danny, what the hell Danny mean? Anyway.
Something I should have asked you about Korselect. What was your reaction afterwards? Like, how did you react to it? Was it disbelief? Or was
no, it never bothered me a damn bit.
Yeah,
I tell you, none of that won't bother me a bit. Yeah.
Why? Because you'd seen so much before and afterwards?
I think I got used to it. Must have got used to it. A fella got killed out there, it wouldn't bother me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was. I know when Bill Howell was with his chum of mine, he was scout and sniper. A hell of a good shot he was. Really, I don't know, I just forget what the hell he had. What his score was, you know, somewhere around 60, 70.
Mm-hmm.
He got a piece of shrapnel in the back of his head here. And he tried to just over his eyelid. Oh, eyebrow right in his here was a little speck of blood. That's the only way wounds he had. This piece of shrapnel was going right through his head and come out here. A little piece of it come out of his
head.
He didn't die right away. No. But it didn't bother me. I went Ned backwards after that, you know. I was cooking backwards when I thought the bastard. When a stand two cop, you know what a stand two is.
Mm-hmm.
So he dangled out of a dugout, and I had to put this breakfast away. I was going to spoil it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got up to the top of the fence, he wasn't there, nowhere to see. He'd gone down the trench somewhere. I didn't know, so I went down that way. I come out of the trench here and I went that way. But he had gone this way, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then Stan Town come and I went back to the dugout and a couple of extra stags with him. And the guy come in and I heard he was going to blow me out a shit hemorrhage. He said, you couldn't speak for a minute. I said, what the hell's the matter with you? He said, you're dead up in the trench. I said, I am. The hell yeah, I said, I'm too bloody hungry. He said, is Bill Howell dead?
Mm-hmm.
See, Bill Howell and me was together then. Bill Howell dead? I said, no, you poor shit. So I went up. He was old Bill. He just died right after I got this. The fellow wanted his rifle and I said, you get no fucking gun. And Bill just opened his eyes at that time and said, don't give it to him, friend. Don't give it to him. So I smashed the bloody rifle over. Talking about rifles, that was a Lee Ross. What's it called? A Lee Ross.
A Lee Enfield
breech firing mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Breech. But the muzzle was a Ross rifle muzzle, you know.
They made adaptions to use the British ammunition, right?
Yeah, adapted it for sniping.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little rifle. It was a small Enfield.
Mm-hmm.
What they call it?
SNLE.
Yeah. Sawed off. I could put, when I stood up, I had a bayonet, I could put it under my hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if it was a bayonet, it was understuck. Yeah, and I had night sight.
Mm-hmm. Is that infrared sight so you can see in the dark?
Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't that. You, the hands were like a watch. That stuff that you get on a watch hand.
Oh, the phosphorus.
No. But it was something like phosphorus. It was on your rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a piece of glass over that. See?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the hell was them bloody sights? I've only seen that one I had. And this same fella, Shoemaker, I was telling him about, he come to me when I got to the rifle and this little bastard. It was a real good gun, wasn't he? Yeah, he gave it me. I don't know where he said, he got an order to give it me. I don't know from. Nobody mentioned it to me. But I carried it all the time.
Did you like it as a rifle?
I liked it. It was handy. You get them without anything long. That's when they were saying the faults of the Ross rifle. They were too bloody long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get caught.
Yeah, in the wire. And
well, when did your division exchange their Ross rifles for the Lee Enfield?
Yeah, that's right there. When we come up, it's on.
So you fought through Corselette with a Ross rifle?
That's right. Oh, yeah. We did, but the 1st and 2nd Divisions had their...
Why was that? Was it a simple case of the turnover, not enough weapons at the time?
No, because those fellas, they were mostly a 50% element of the effort anyway, because they see a Ross rifle in the Alice Lopez cavalry, you know where they are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the transport.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Lopez cavalry. That's what they're... It's the transport that they use, you know, this outfit.
So Ali Sloper?
Ali Sloper's cavalry. Ali Sloper used to be a comic character in the old days,
mm-hmm.
in the old country. So these were all old country fellas anyway. Mm-hmm. Ali Sloper's cavalry had the gun. Another thing I was going to tell you before we went out and left there. Oh, yeah. Well, we marched out of there, coming up the highway. Now, the 4th Division had gone into Ypres when we left.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd just come from the old country.
They had just formed up at this time, hadn't they? They were brand new.
That's right, brand new, never been in. They got into the Ypres just when we were pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
And they got mixed up with the Aussies there. The Aussies had just come from Gallipoli. And they got in. And these plenty of Canadians are smart bastards, they've never been up the line, you know, because these Aussies are really real tough in that mm-hmm. mess down there with them.
Gallipoli, yeah.
Turkish guys. They were real tough. And they went in and they relieved this 4th Division lunch. And the 72nd was one of them I know.
Mm-hmm.
When they woke up in the morning, here the Christ, here was a bloody horse out in no man's land, made out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a skeleton of a horse like it. A rocker, you know.
Was it large?
Well, about as high as that went.
Was it supposed to be like the Trojan horse?
Well, I don't know what it was supposed to be, but
yeah.
it's a rocket. And on the bloody tail of it was to, from Gallipoli. Making fun of the other guy, they chased out of Gallipoli. And there was it. What was there, man? Mm-hmm. I know I went into a star. I didn't know what it was all about. I was all the way. I went into a, to the standing. Mm-hmm. A bunch of us is in there. I don't know. Went up the bar. Beer. Say, look around, there was a bloody gang of us. And one fella said, hey, no, it's not here. It's not him. He's not on. No, look at his kilt. I said, we all had khaki kilt for that time. Mm-hmm. But I got mine covered with blood.
How'd you do that?
Old fella up in the Mopsall. At the Mopsall was a place up in Ypres. Mm-hmm. Mopsall had got a bullet to cut his jugular vein. And the bloody fools were sat in there. We used to take our kilts off in the line. No, believe me, run around with just the shirt tails.
Mm-hmm. You mean nothing underneath?
Not the thing. Not the thing. What undies?
I've asked a number of Scottish soldiers, and they say you always wore undies underneath because it would chafe between the legs. But you didn't wear undies underneath?
Who told you that?
A Seaforth officer, actually.
Oh, bloody officer, well, no wonder you should wear a piece of boilerplate. We used to take out your first thing they done when we were in the line was take out your mm-hmm. and fold it up.
Why would you do that?
You get some bloody place where you could put it where it wouldn't get plastered with shit and mud.
Yeah.
And that was when you got out of the line, you come out of the line, put it on. But we used to run around and bollocks make and go, well, you know, around there. Oh, yeah. And,
would you attack in that manner? I mean, if you were going to do a trench raid, would you go like
oh,
that?
Well, if you got over the top to stay, you would put it together naturally. But going for a raid or anything like that, you'd be back in 10 or 15 minutes. Just to say.
Was it not cold for you fellows to be marching around with your ass hanging out?
No, I'll tell you that. A kilt's a warm thing.
Yeah.
A warm thing, yeah. That's what you say, huh? We got used to it, I don't know. I never thought of it, but it then.
Yeah.
I never thought of it. Yeah, well. What the?
Yeah, I think we should end it right there because we're running out of tape again.